11/2/09 is our next regular meeting. Okay, gentlemen, that is all of the old business for this evening. The other one was tabled and denied. Now we'll go into old business. And our first case under old business is case number 10,491. I'd like to call on counsel at this time. He will start off this case.
As you're probably aware, gentlemen, since the hearing, two different groups filed what are referred to as motions for rehearings under Rule 18. You've been provided with copies of those filings, as well as some photographs that Susan and I had the staff take regarding this property. And I've determined from reviewing the rules that the motions for rehearing were timely filed and are properly before the board, so we went ahead and scheduled it for consideration tonight since the case was already on the agenda. You'll remember that there was some discussion at the public hearing about the posting of the property, and it appears that the notice was in fact placed on an adjacent property, which is appeared to be an old rundown dwelling. As opposed to the service station or Arby's property upon which the tower would be located. There were also complaints about individuals within 200 feet not receiving notice, and the fact that it was published in a newspaper that might not be particularly well read in that area. I've confirmed, though, that the newspaper advertising was proper under the code, and the 200-foot rule is actually part of Board Rule 3.3. And at the end of that rule, there's the phrase that says, failure to comply with the provisions of Rule 3.3 shall not be considered a defect in the requirements for public notice of a public hearing. So in my view, neither of those complaints are legitimate issues for rehearing. With respect to the actual posting of the property, the rules are conflicting. As you probably know, the county's powers are derived from the state. And in Title 9 of the Delaware Code, there's a Chapter 68 titled Planning and Zoning. That chapter creates the Planning and Zoning Commission and certain related offices and addresses zoning issues within the county. Section 68-12 includes the requirement for public hearings and a notice that's necessary. Those are sections which were cited by at least one and perhaps both of the parties who have filed for rehearing. However, there's no mention in Chapter 68 of the Board of Adjustment. Rather, the board's created in the following chapter, Chapter 69, which is titled Zoning. Section 69-13 creates the Board of Adjustment, and there are several sections which address rules. Section 69-15, for example, provides for the county government to create general rules to govern, quote, the organization, procedure, and jurisdiction of the Board of Adjustment, which rules shall not be inconsistent with this chapter, and the Board of Adjustment may adopt supplemental rules of procedure not inconsistent with this subchapter or such general rules. In addition, Section 69-16, which relates to appeals to the Board of Adjustment, similarly allows for procedures to be governed by the county government or in supplemental rules of procedure adopted by the board. Although the AT&T case was not technically an appeal, it was my opinion from reading the statutes that the Board of Adjustment is not governed by Chapter 68 rules, but rather by the separate rules adopted by the county or by the board itself. In the county code, section 115-208C details the notice requirements for hearing before the Board of Adjustment. It requires public notice at least 15 days before the hearing in a newspaper of general circulation. That's followed by the following, quote, in addition, the board may cause the date, time, place, and nature of the hearing to be posted conspicuously on the property in accordance with the rules of the board. Rule 3 of the board rules also discusses notice, and section 3.2 requires that all notices, including property postings, comply with applicable state and county ordinances. Again, from my perspective, there's no state law governing the posting of property for Board of Adjustment cases, which leaves us with the county ordinances. It appears then from a review of all the applicable sources that the requirement of posting of the property is a discretionary one with the county. The question becomes then, if the county opts to post the property, does it have to be perfect? And the issue comes down to whether or not an error in posting such as that which occurred in this case triggers the need to rehear the entire case. The purpose of the notice, of course, is to alert the public to the fact that there is an action pending involving the property, thereby allowing individuals to contact the county to get more information or to attend the public hearing itself. And that's where I'll cut off my remarks. So basically, all you're talking about is the posting and whether or not you believe the posting was such that it posed unfairness for those who might have come in and objected, or if you think it was an error which was so minor in nature that it need not trigger a rehearing.
Perhaps the question is if it was such that those folks weren't properly advised or not notified, then why did anybody show up in opposition anyway? Obviously somebody was aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me do one other thing, because I promised the attorneys this. The two attorneys did ask for an opportunity to present additional information, one in writing and one verbally. Rule 18, which governs rehearings, says, and I'll read this verbatim, the board shall determine the motion upon the written application, any response thereto, and accompanying affidavits, if any. It requires that you take into account the writings that you've received, and although it doesn't necessarily say that you can't hear argument, it's my impression that this matter is better off decided based on what you've received, particularly since I told the attorneys that it was unlikely that there would be oral argument. And so having said that, I'm simply noting for the record the objection of those who did ask for additional hearing.
What's the distance from the first one it cited where it's supposed to be? You know the distance from that?
No, again, I know it's just right next door.
Right behind it, though.
50 feet.
It's the same property.
50
about.
Feet.
Yeah.
50 feet.
I don't know the exact, but it is.
50
feet.
Probably.
Mr. Have you... Do you have the pictures? Did yours come out large size?
I did. I got it.
Oh, you did get it. Okay. I know there were some problems copying them. Those are the same.
Gentlemen, in my opinion, proper notice was given.
Mm-hmm.
It was published as we always do. As Rick had said, you know, there's nothing that addresses, you know, the Board of Adjustments and its posting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, had there not been any opposition here, then I could believe that it had an effect, but I don't think it did.
Mr. Wetzel.
Mr. Chairman, would it be appropriate, and please forgive me for barging in, but I understand Mr. Burrell's communication to Mr. Weidman and myself and Ms. Scott, who was present this evening. I believe it would be appropriate for the board to hear some very brief oral argument on the issue. Opinions conflict. I happen to disagree with Mr. Burrell's legal opinion. And perhaps just brief comments, if you could limit us to 3 or 4 or 5 minutes each. It might help the board members understand the conflicting legal opinions that have been generated by this case.
Mm-hmm.
I can promise to be less than 5 minutes or 4 minutes, depending on what you decide. But Rick, I don't mean to jump on your decision, but it should be, I think, the board's decision not to allow oral argument. If that's your decision, then we will honor that. But this is a very important case, and I don't want to get into the oral argument until you decide it, but a simple decision by you could eliminate all appellate arguments for due process reasons. And so it might be appropriate just to have brief oral argument. We've been waiting for a couple of 3 hours, and you've been busy. I understand that. But.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You got a timer?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a timer?
Rick is...
Well, if you want to listen to legal argument, you can do it, but you know, are you going to adopt a legal opinion by someone else over the board's attorney? That's really what it comes down to.
That's what, yeah.
I don't think it would be appropriate.
I don't either. That's mm-hmm. my personal opinion. I think that's why we got Rick. You know, that's where I think, me personally.
Mr. Mills?
I agree.
Mr. McCabe?
I'm along with the majority.
Okay. Then there will be no, we'll grant no arguments and they will rule our attorney. That's the members of the board then have that in a motion. We don't need that in a motion, no way.
No.
Okay.
Just need to discuss this.
I'm sorry?
Just need to discuss the case.
Just need to discuss it. Okay. Let me get out my notes in on it.
No, still in the same one, 491.
Still on the same one.
Mm-hmm. And what's that?
Mr. Chairman, I will say that all this questioning of the past couple of weeks is has distracted, personally has distracted me from really focusing on what we heard in the case, and there was a lot of content. I personally would appreciate some more time in digesting and thinking it through, because it isn't a case to be taken lightly.
I agree with Mr. Mills. I'd like to look at that case again in the area and the surrounding areas too, and the heights of things around there. So I'd like to table that to the next meeting.
Remember, you've got two issues. The first one you need to decide is the rehearing issue.
First.
If you
okay.
decide not to rehear
then.
Then you'll go on to discuss the merits. And as you said, if you want to table it, for example, till Jeff comes back, you can do that. But if you're going to grant the rehearing, then that's pointless, because then it has to be re-advertised
okay.
and the whole hearing has to be redone.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we we deny the request for the rehearing.
Back again. I got a first to get. Then I got a motion
for the reasons that Mr. Burrell has suggested earlier.
Excuse me. Okay, I got a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we deny the request for a rehearing based on the based on Mr. Burrow's.
And I do believe that proper notice was given.
I do think the proper notice was given, so I get this down. Okay. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Then the request is denied then. All right, now the next one. Now we'll take the next motion. Are you making a motion?
I'd like to table it to next meeting, and Jeff will be here and give us a chance to look at it again. And take all this.
He wasn't here at the meeting tonight.
Is that his motion?
That's his motion.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Workman and a second by Mr. Mills that we deny the, I mean, that we table the case until our next regular meeting to allow the other board member, who was absent tonight, to have time to review the information. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
All right, all opposed, motion then carried. So that'll be to 11-2. 9, Mr. Mills.